If you haven't already, check out the new VSiN.com. It looks pretty, and it is packed with all kinds of sports betting information. Just a quick glance, Steve Mackinnon shared statistical traits of college basketball contenders. Hey, there you go. Zach Cohen on the Super Bowl. Adam Burke on the Super Bowl. You know what else Adam Burke has in there? A Reba McEntire National Anthem breakdown. So last night, I go deep diving on Reba McEntire National Anthem performances. And unlike other previously scheduled National Anthem artists that are going to precede a Super Bowl, her work is like everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I thought I did this amazing deep dive, no pun intended, with Drew's podcast title. Adam Burke went even further.
He already did it already. Yeah, it was last week.
It's all at VSiN.com. We're going to go over what I had and then what Adam additionally had a little later on the show, as a matter of fact, on that. VSiN.com. Check it out today. Drew Densick, kind enough to join us for a second segment again somewhere in Central California. Whale underscore Cappers, where you can find him. The Deep Dive Podcast with Andy Molitor and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Couple things here. One, care to flesh out that Brock Purdy comment you made? Because I'm sure there are people who listen who are like, wait a minute. Did Drew just say he thinks Brock Purdy was the better quarterback this year? And isn't Drew the guy?
He was.
And isn't Drew the guy that also has come on this show and said, look, guys, Pat Mahomes is always the MVP?
Yeah, I mean, I am up in Niner country. I'm up here, up in the hills, where I'm sure some 49ers were staking their claim back in the 1800s. And so maybe I'm being a little bit red and gold colored glasses here, but no, I mean, EPA per play, Brock Purdy outperformed Mahomes this year, and it was by margin. You go over their careers, obviously Mahomes is better, but and he's done it for longer. But, you know, certainly when you combine, you know, what EPA per play is telling you, which is, you know, how do you combine the performance of the quarterback with, you know, with what the scheme he's in and the tools he has to work with, Purdy was outstanding this year. And I think, you know, people who are kind of scratching their heads, how could Mahomes be a dog in the Super Bowl again? Like that he's up against a better offense. Like, just know that. The matchup that I think are, you know, kind of key in this one that I'm the most intrigued to kind of dig into and really kind of make some decisions around, you know, kind of our skill position group for the Niners up against the cornerbacks for the Chiefs. The cornerbacks for the Chiefs proved to be one of the stronger units in the NFL defensively all season. They were unbelievable. They performed kind of a perfect game against a Ravens offense, but that, you know, that skill position group is you know, substantially weaker than what the Niners are bringing to the table. And so this is a huge step up in competition. And, you know, if they can't go toe to toe with, you know, with the Debo Samuels and Brandon Ayuk's and George Kittle's of the world and CMC out of the backfield, then, you know, Niners are going to be able to find some success here. That said, there's a counter argument to be made about the way that Chris Jones is playing and his ability to, you know, create interior pressure. And he's up against sort of the soft spot in the Niners offensive line and the interior there. So, you know, Brock Purdy, if he's going to have success in this game, if he's going to get it done, I'm imagining he's going to have to do it on the run. He's going to have to create out a structure. And the fact that you saw him do that in the second half against the Lions, I think is pretty, pretty, you know, I guess hopeful that can happen. So really, I guess the questions all kind of swirl around, you know, what are you going to get out of this Niners offense, you know, strength of their team against the strength of the Chiefs, which is their defense, you know, and you know, I'm not there yet, but I'm leaning that the Niners are going to be able to, you know, raise their floor a bit in this contest just based on the, you know, the matchup advantages, the schematic advantages, and, you know, the quality of play you've gotten from, you know, from Brock Purdy over the balance of the season. You know, the other side of the ball is really, really weird because you do have two units with the Niners defense and Chiefs offense that have both underwhelmed substantially considering the talent on those, you know, on each of those teams. And, you know, I think I'm almost going to have to talk myself into just holding my nose and backing this Niners defense, I think. But it's, you know, they should be able to, you know, kind of give a little extra attention to Travis Kelce in this one. And, you know, if they can find any kind of better tackling than what we saw against the Lions, then, you know, if you can, you can limit some of the explosive opportunities for Pacheco, then maybe the Chiefs defense still, or Chiefs offense still is, you know, kind of floating around the 20 point range instead of into the 30s. So, I guess, you know, just for kind of historical context, you're right. I, you know, last year's my handicap for the Super Bowl was keep it simple, stupid, I didn't think we were ever going to get another chance in our lives to bet Pat Mahomes as a dog in the Super Bowl. And yet here we are.
Here we are.
No chance this year. I definitely think I hold this Niners team higher than the Eagles from last year. And so I think this is going to be a tougher test.
I do too, for sure. And I was saying yesterday, it's such an interesting handicap because on the one hand, if you did the old Jimmy the Greek, T-chart, and you were just doing checks, and I understand football's not played this way, but if you did it quarterback versus quarterback, coach versus coach, tight end versus tight end, kicker versus kicker, defense versus defense, you might argue that all those checks go to the Kansas City Chiefs, but the biggest check of them all would be that San Francisco offense, and the other way to look at it is, well, if we made a spread on this game on a neutral site on Christmas when both of these teams got, crushed, the Chiefs by the Raiders, the Niners by the Ravens, at that point, maybe the Niners are a 5 or a 6 point favorite. I don't know. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's so many ways to skin the cat on this one. Let me talk NBA here in our last few minutes. Kelly and I were talking MVP a little bit at the top of the show. Do you have a bet in that market? Would you make a bet in that market? Or is there another NBA awards market that you might suggest making a bet in?
Well, the ship has sailed on Wemby, Rookie of the Year, I think. So that one, I think you can pretty much put to bed. MVP is pretty entertaining right now. Obviously, the market, the floor, the trap door opened for the Joel Embiid backers. He was, I'm going to say something like plus 135 ish. A couple of days ago before he was a surprise, did not dress against the Nuggets. That happened on Saturday. And, there were people who immediately went, oh, ducking. He's ducking Jokic again. He does this every year. But honestly, they're getting investigated for it. I don't think that if he was actually going to duck, they would have put him on the injury report, as questionable at a minimum. And then, just pulled the plug day of, and so there's definitely some smoke there. There's definitely some reporters, national reporters and local reporters around Philadelphia who are saying stuff that does not sound good about the quality, of Embiid's left knee right now. And I think, he is coming up against the point in time where he's going to have zero margin for missing games between now and the end of the season if he's going to qualify for 65 games played, which is the minimum threshold to be considered for MVP. So, the reason you've seen such an aggressive shift in that market is Embiid's probably not going to qualify. Right now, I would have him a pretty healthy dog to qualify just because I think he can only miss 5 more games. He might miss tonight. We don't know. Market's certainly pricing that game tonight like he's not going to play against the Warriors. Tyrese Maxey probably goes. Harris probably goes. I think the Warriors are a bet on tonight. I think ultimately the equity from all of the Embiid support, which again, did Embiid deserve to be a heavy favorite? Of course. If he had qualified, he was going to probably be 80 or 90% to win because he was putting up that impressive a statistical profile this season. For all of that equity to immediately get dumped into the Jokic bucket is interesting. It doesn't exactly feel right. I think there's probably a decent amount that should have gone to Shea. There's probably a decent amount that should have gone to Giannis, in my opinion. And I think the fact that Giannis is still out there close to 10-1 is wrong. He's kind of improving as we're coming into the meat of the season here. Just in general, there is scope, I think, for the Bucks to run down the Celtics for the one seed, and if not, at least have a very clean look at no doubt 2 seeds. So that I think Giannis is being a little overlooked here, whereas Jokic may coast through a decent portion of March as he did last year, and just in general, there's more offensive an overall better offensive team with the Nuggets and then Giannis is doing an incredible amount right now offensively for the Bucks. So I would make a decent case for Giannis in the 10-1 range. And I think, the overreaction to putting all of the Embiid equity directly into the Jokic bucket is a little tough for me to swallow.
Yeah, Giannis plus 850 at DraftKings, but as Drew says, shop around. You might be able to find a 10-1 out there. Besides the Warriors, then, who do you got tonight? Who have you bet on?
I got Knicks and Warriors for me tonight, going to war with a couple of favorites. It's not obvious to me that the Knicks are going to be at full strength, obviously, but you had OG Anunoby take the night off yesterday. I think he plays today. Hartenstein, I think, is going to ramp up his minutes. And the Knicks right now are grading as one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. Probably I would put them right up there, number two after the Timberwolves. So it's a good team. Anunoby is a perfect fit. He's exactly kind of in the mix for what Thibodeau wants to do. And I think this Knicks price should be closer to six.
Warriors and Knicks, both 3.5-point favorites, both home favorites on a very small NBA card tonight, just five games. Drew's got a pick in two of them. Drew, we always appreciate it no matter where you are. I don't know about no matter where, but 90% of the time, wherever you are, you make the time. We thank you, sir, as always.
All right. Hey, best of luck, guys.
You too. Drew Dinsey dancing out on this one.
We don't get that off.
I don't really see a dancing Drew Dinsey. At whale underscore capper. Always appreciate it. We'll come back. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave on College Hoops next. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Binlin, tomorrow on the show, Kelly. You know who's on the show tomorrow?
The great Steve Fezzik.
The great Steve Fezzik on the show prior to his Vegas Lifestyle appearance. Megapod Vegas, the Beating the Book Vegas Lifestyle Megapod appearance, his first ever on that particular edition.
I was going to say, Steve usually a part of that? He's not.
He is not. Mark Meltzer. Here, trivia question. Who's the only person to ever be on the Megapod every year?
Gil Alexander.
Mark Meltzer. Him too. Gil Alexander also. But Mark Meltzer, like Seltzer, every year he's on the Vegas Lifestyle pod. He's the staple. But Fez is going to come on because Fezzik, how can I put this? Cuts corners all over Vegas.
Yeah, seven-star Steve.
Seven-star Steve.
I mean, the guy goes to work out at Caesar's Palace gym every morning. Like, that is, I think that was a good call by you that to bring him on that podcast.
Hey, meet me at Caesar's to work. I'm like, Caesar's? Okay.
It's still the most Vegas vacation thing I've ever heard in this town.
Fantastic.
That he lives south of the Strip and will drive up every morning to go to Caesar's.
I told you we're on the treadmill and he wants to talk while we're on the treadmill. I can't do that. I'm like, Steve, I can't do that either.
Stop talking to me. I'm working out.
DP. We had tweets at Beat the Book. DP Bet Sports. I'm like 5 years old on Christmas Eve. Can't wait for the Lifestyle Show. We're looking forward to it as well. Sports books, steakhouses, other stuff through the years that we're too old to talk about now, but when we were younger, we talked about, if you know what I mean. Mike Rouse, good to hear we can get Masters quality background noise with Drew this morning. And Ed Zerolski.
I didn't even think about it that way.
Ed Zerolski, Drew checking in from medicinal pot farm in NoCal. All of that is right.
Both quality answers.
By the way, speaking of Fezzik, one of the best listeners in the game on this show. It really is. Don't miss a detail. The thing about Fezzik also, you know, we're going to talk Super Bowl with him, obviously, on the show tomorrow before the Lifestyle Pod. And one of the big macro statements from him from this Super Bowl, which I think is a point that needs to be made, and again, we have 2 weeks to make all points, when it's close to a pick'em, and by the way, it's two now, so we may never get to a pick'em, but if it does threaten to get close to a pick'em, pro bettors kind of sad about that, kind of get a little melancholy about it, because if you have a pick'em, let's just say it was a pick'em, everything else is easier to price for the bookmakers. And so the value abates at that point as well. So that's just something to keep in mind, you know, macro-wise for a Super Bowl where the line is this tight. But I don't think we're getting to a pick'em now. It doesn't look like it anyway.
Yeah, DraftKings is a little off from everybody else right now. They're 2-47. They're like a half point off from kind of everywhere else.
Consensus 1.5.
Yeah, more and a half.
Let's talk some college hoops, ladies and gentlemen. Third time in 3 weeks, we get a different three-man weaver. Matty Cox joins us this week. How you doing, Matt?
Doing great, fellas. Reassessing my gym membership as I listen to the Fezzik tales. I'll have to see what's available here in the Chicagoland area. Clearly, I'm not doing it right. I am not doing it right.
Listen. That guy does it right. No one else does it right compared to that guy. Seriously, he will make you...
His bar's here. I get it.
He honestly makes me reconsider yeah. everything I do here.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? I've missed all these opportunities. I roll down to Caesars now every day. I'm like, free drinks.
You can spend 3 minutes with them, and you get six tips immediately. Oh, my life is better.
How did I miss out on this? I don't know why I'm talking like that. Okay. Maddie, at the beginning of the show, and I've done this with your two colleagues, Jim Root, James Patrick Root, and also with Kai McKeon the last couple weeks, I give them coaches, a list of coaches, and it's just trust or don't trust. One sentence on each. I've done it with them. You're the third person. We're going to do it with you. But I'm going to limit it to my college basketball formula, which right now has Houston, Arizona, Auburn, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Purdue qualifying as contenders for the national championship, BYU, UConn, and Kansas on the outside looking in. I'll throw in a handful after that. So let's just start. Trust or no trust? Houston, Kelvin Sampson.
Trust with my life.
Wow, this life.
I like it.
By the way, these will be graded, Matt. These will be graded with verbal assault.
At what point in time? End of year or 5 years?
Okay. Immediate grading.
Oh, right now. Okay.
Immediate grading. Arizona, Tommy Lloyd.
Trust.
Ah, yeah. Three of you. Wrong answer. All three of you. What's with you three? So why do you love him so much?
We met him at the award show in St. Louis.
That's why.
2 years ago. Also, he's just a good coach. I think I just objectively put my biased friendship, AK one conversation with him aside. I think he's a good coach. He'll adapt this year. Didn't adapt last year. He will this year.
Bruce Pearl, Auburn.
Trusting. I just think the track record of success has grown so strong now. Yeah, trusting. Growing toward the trust side of the
year. I see. Trusting is not quite trust.
Like
trusting. Developing a trust.
On the way.
Right.
Hubert Davis, right. UNC.
Don't trust.
Wow.
Don't trust.
God, you guys hate Hubert Davis. Mark that down. The three-man weavers hate Hubert Davis. Let's put that on the picks
page. I like
page.
His rosters. Love his rosters. Love his team.
Rick Barnes, Tennessee. Do I even need to ask? Rick Barnes, Tennessee?
Don't trust.
Okay, thank God. Trust. All right, here's the one that's very interesting. Matt Painter, Purdue.
Trust.
Wow. You guys are so aligned.
Yeah, we are. Too much groupthink. I try and break the I try and be the black sheep when I can, but Matt Painter, I think, is this will be the Purdoe the Virginia rerun narrative this year. I firmly believe the Purdue hate has gone too far and they're poised to make a deep run this year. So,
Who's the black sheep? Matty Cox is the answer to that question. All right, three teams on the outside looking in. BYU, Mark Pope, who does not qualify, by the way, in my formula, tried and true because he ain't never been to a Sweet 16 before this. But do you trust Mark Pope?
Big trust. Huge trust. Yes.
BYU's huge getting to the Final Four, aren't they? Tell me they're getting to the Final Four, depending on the
draw,
of course.
I think they got the chops, too. They went to a Princeton offense against Texas and completely bewildered that team. Mark Pope plays chess against many coaches who play checkers in that conference, and there's a lot of really good conference in that league. I think Pope's great.
Traore is great, I think,
yes.
as well for that team.
Yes, he is.
And that's a big addition. Dan Hurley, I don't even need to ask. Bill Self, I don't even need to ask, unless you tell me differently. Oh, he's had a face.
No, trust both.
Okay,
yeah, trust
right,
both.
I was going to say. All right. Yeah. And let's just take five other randos before we get to your picks today. None of these five qualify. But noteworthy, Nate Oates, Alabama.
Trust?
Okay. It's a question mark
at
the end.
Style question marks there. A little style question marks in a tournament setting where you need to be a little more adaptive. Chameleon-y. I don't know if they're chameleon enough.
How about playing some defense also? Greg Gard, Wisconsin.
Trust.
John Shire, Duke.
Don't trust.
Izzo, I don't even need to mention. Greg McDermott, Creighton.
Trust.
Okay. All right. That's all I got for you. That's all.
You did fairly well, but
I'm going to have to mark off the Tommy Lloyd part. I'm sorry. Little red ink on your paper on that. All right. What'd you land on today?
I got a few. Market's been active, as it usually has been. God, college basketball betting market has just completely changed this year. It really has. I feel like there's a lot more entrance and early activity. But I do like... Look a little anti-market here. I like Wyoming. Not too far away. You got an Air Force, the Air Troops, as we so lovingly call them. They're playing better, and they're not devoid of talent there. But Wyoming, I know they're coming off that huge, crazy, crazy comeback win, like down 11 with 45 seconds to go. Could argue it's a bad spot, but I think they're trending up right now. Got some guys back healthy. Jeff Linder is in the trust category for me. just been pillaged by injury the last few years. I think they're the more categorically more talented team with sort of a current form inflection stock arrow pointing up. Air Force should not be favored against anyone, in my opinion, at home, even at home against the Mountain West, even against San Jose State. So I'm going to trust my 2 second handicap here, and I'm taking the Pokes.
All right.
Back to what I see now. Yeah.
Keep them rolling. What are the other two?
I got Clemson, Colorado State, and Ohio. At the current numbers, hard to endorse any of them. I know Ohio is up to 15 now. Colorado State got hit pretty big. A lot of these home spots have been smashed by the early money here. But Clemson, fading Louisville is always a good strategy. I know Louisville's had some propensity to make games interesting, as Mike Rutherford says for the Car Chronicle. But they, I think they're overmatched tonight against Clemson. A little bit angry off that Duke questionable, we'll say, call at Cameron, they come back with the vengeance and take it out on the poor Louisville Cardinals, who are not only outclassed, but just outcoached, I think, in this game. So, yeah.
All right. That point you made about a lot more entrance into the college basketball market, we've seen this over the last few years. Are you saying there's a lot more money in early, and so the lines move quicker? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just from what I've seen, I don't have a roster of how many people are betting or anything,
right,
but it just seems like a lot more of the inefficient lines are straightened out really quickly the first few books open up. So
you have adjusted and released earlier, basically made plays earlier? Is that what's happening with you?
No, I can't. No, I'm at the back of the line usually, so I got to wait. I got to pick off the scraps, unfortunately. So you got to be right on your smaller subset these days. It's tough to win, Gil.
There you go. Matty Cox crystallizing it right there. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much, man.
No, thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
At 3MW underscore CBB. They sure do love Tommy Lloyd over there. Trust Matt Painter. We'll come back. I'm not above talking Reba. I'll do that next. Levitar coming up on DK. VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. I'll read through it. Daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
That's ANG, folks, as in a numbers game. This fine program you're currently listening to with the Gil Alexander.
Get your first year VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That was me and Kelly playing a game of chicken right there. I just kept my mouth shut. I'm like, when is he going to end?
You did a good job. You beat me. I had to stop because I knew you were just going to let me go.
When I say we get tweets, boy, oh boy, people love some Reba and some talk about novelty props. This is from, we get tweets. Brian M. Drew looked like he was under a cloud of smoke himself this morning. Robert Moss, Ursher starts with yeah, book it. That was one of my three. Money making M. Oh, this is a good tweet, Kelly. He said, Ursher stated in a recent Vogue interview that the show would be more traditional R&B. Ho-ho! So I don't think either of the EDM songs would open the show, so my obvious choice is yeah, since it's his biggest single. Max unit bet. So that makes me gravitate towards yeah also, because the other ones are EDM. It went his EDM phase, right?
Okay.
Yeah, strict R&B. The only other thing I would throw in there, again, his set lists usually start with My Way, which is super R&B, but I don't think he's going to start a Super Bowl show with My Way. So I think yeah is the choice. I really do.
Okay.
Brian Grierson, your Reba impersonation is spot on. I thought Kelly dropped a Reba voice drop. Johnny Ringo, a whole segment on the national anthem. Fancy, don't let me down. Let's go. Ryan Hyatt, the Reba McEntire national anthem time deep dive by Gil and Kelly this morning on VSiN was pretty much why I got out of bed today. Only question now is her strength of schedule top 75, and does she have Sweet 16 experience? Melding of segments. Michael Harrison, thanks to you, it's also impossible to listen to regular sports talk radio. I heard take the point so often yesterday that you'd think Detroit could have just walked up to the refs and said, here's the ball, we're going to surrender this drive and take the 3 points. Thanks. Yeah, don't get me started. D-Money 2171. My wife went to a Reba show last year at Foxwoods, and she was on stage for exactly 1 hour. Not surprised she knocks these gigs out. She's 68. She should be on for 1 hour. I remember when Prince was getting in his later years, he was 90 minutes gone. I'd be like, is that Prince, who I used to watch at like 3 a.m. at the Fillmore in San Francisco, go on for 5 hours and go to work in the morning at 8 a.m.? No, it's old Prince.
Yeah.
This one is from James. Oh, this is a great one from James Lloyd. Found a plane flyover at 4.5. Took the over, got limited to $5. Thunderbird formation, always 5 to 6 planes.
Saw that one as well.
That's a great one.
Do we know it's always the Thunderbirds, though? Don't they mix that up?
Listen, Kelly, don't question the flyover. Wait, you get like handicap.
I know. Sometimes you get like the solo B-2 bomber, you know?
You always want to bring up other planes. I'm just saying, it's Thunderbirds.
We never talk about planes. I would love to talk way more about the plane number.
Kelly, always with the plane stuff. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke. He's at Spreadopedia on Twitter. How you doing, Jason?
Kelly, ask and you shall receive. You want to talk about airplanes? We are going to talk about airplanes. I don't know if you know this or not. I am not only the winningest guest in VSiN history, I am the official flyover handicapper of VSiN. If needed, I will call the Pentagon. Actually, my girlfriend will call her contacts at the Pentagon, and we will find out the exact number this flyover.
Remember he did this last year?
Because the B-2 comes from Whiteman Air Force Base in Kansas, and they got the Rose Bowl, so they're not doing Super Bowl II.
There we go.
This is the guy.
I did just get Matt Hicks in my ear letting me know that the Thunderbirds are local, so that would make a lot of sense.
He picks up the phone, this guy, Jason Weingarten, he or his girlfriend, and they call the Pentagon. This happened last
year. Pentagon?
Literally. Yeah, Pentagon. May I speak with the Secretary of Defense, and he gets on the phone with Jason. It's not a joke.
Mind you, not only this, but this is not my only contact. I have multiple contacts. I can call people up anywhere in the government, get stuff done.
You can call the Oval Office right now, Jason? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know. I think we're on bad terms with that office personally.
Okay.
But
live on air.
I get into a lot of stuff. I call a lot of people pretty quick.
The crew wants to know if you'd call the Postmaster General.
Absolutely. I got a letter from the Postmaster General a couple weeks ago.
That's a great question.
I literally got a letter from the Postmaster General a couple weeks ago.
Did it start by saying, "Dear Jason, wow, you show up here a lot."
It was strongly worded, though. It was strongly worded, I will tell you that.
Strongly worded. Positively?
Unsettling.
No, it was moderately unsettling. You know, the post office is one of the branches of the government.
Hold on.
Their postal inspectors are serious people. You don't want to screw with the post office.
Wait a minute. You got a moderate... Wait, we have to talk about this. You got a moderately unsettling letter from the Postmaster General?
Yeah, because Mrs. Kong messed up one of my packages at the post office.
I thought you loved Mrs. Kong. We talked about
this. I do, but she messed up. It was a really unfortunate situation.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
I accidentally sent something media mail that I shouldn't, and they sent me a strongly worded letter about not abusing my media mail privileges. I'm not joking. It was literally from the Postmaster General.
Bro, what did you send? You're not allowed to say.
I don't even know what it was. It was something, not media, apparently, but... It went media mail, and that's a big no-no, and they were mad at me.
What is media mail? What does that mean?
If you're sending somebody like
a DVD?
CDs or DVDs or something.
Oh,
okay. I don't know.
Oh, Jason Weingarten, everybody. Breaking news.
Strongly worded letter from the Postmaster General.
Running afoul of the authorities.
Did it start with thanks for your continued loyalty, at least?
I thought it started by going, wow, you're amazing. But no, apparently not. Jason, a couple things. One, please do get to the bottom of the plane thing because we'd like to win some bets on the flyover. And two, those are new glasses, aren't they?
These are new glasses. I got them yesterday.
What precipitated this?
I needed a nice pair of glasses at my brother's weddings this weekend, and many VSiN viewers have commented that my glasses are a little foggy and the lenses are kind of crappy. And it's true. They're like 5-year-old glasses.
Our listeners have tweeted at him and said, your glasses are foggy, get new glasses, and he obliged.
Look at Sharp.
So I love it.
I actually got two new pairs of glasses, but I just wanted to go with the colorful ones today.
Is that a turtle rim? Like, what do we call that? That's very colorful.
I don't even know. Okay. I literally looked at these and I was like, these are hideous. All right. I must have them.
Jason, Super Bowl 58. As long as you're not behind bars and can still bet this, what are you betting?
Man, you know, I've said it twice before. I think I'm going to have to go a third time here. But if you're going to give me Patrick Mahomes as a dog, I'm going to have to take Patrick Mahomes as a dog. I'm going to have to dive a little deeper into some of the MVP stuff because I started sending you some of the stuff yesterday. I saw Scott Kazmaier pulled a couple of notes on Twitter. But quarterbacks haven't won 3 Super Bowl MVPs in a row. A tight end's never won. Just some interesting stuff. Is this the year I'm finally going to find a defensive player? I really don't have one that stands out yet, but I'm trying to kind of approach this game from from some different angles and see what sort of value I can uncover and unlock. But you know, I'm not kind of jumping in on the obvious things, the Kelce MVP, the Mahomes MVP. I will take a little bit of the Chiefs here if I can still find some twos this week, but we got a lot of time, so nothing I got to rush in on and start betting today, fortunately.
What was that wacky thing you texted me yesterday that you're thinking about betting?
Which wacky thing? You got to be more specific.
Yeah, I really do. It's very true.
What did I say? Did I
something that you were considering betting?
Oh, Trent Williams, yes. Anytime touchdown.
Yeah.
The most amazing stat in the Super Bowl. No Alabama player has ever scored points in the Super Bowl.
How about that stat?
Wow.
No Alabama player. No Alabama player has ever scored a Super Bowl. So, of course, in Jason Weingarten's mind, he immediately goes to Trent Williams to score a touchdown.
Well, he could fall on the ball, right? I mean, you fumble into the end zone, he falls on the ball. Like, what odds can I get on that? You know, 200-1, 300-1, like something like that. It could happen.
He could be ineligible. We've seen that. We've seen it before this year.
Play. That's what. What if the 49ers blow him out? It's like 42-10 in the fourth quarter. You're telling me you're not getting your Hall of Fame tackle, the fridge play touchdown?
Yeah,
like,
but the problem is that Trent Williams.
Give me a big enough number.
There's only one problem with his calculus. Trent Williams didn't go to Alabama. He went to Oklahoma. So why did we land on Trent Williams?
Stupid?
I wouldn't put it that way, Jason, but I just feel like it's a poor handicap.
I had him as an Alabama offensive tackle. Have I been wrong? And it's one of those things in my head. I've just been all week. I'm like, Alabama. He went to Alabama.
No, he went to Oklahoma.
There's got to be somebody else from Bama.
You can find somebody else,
yeah,
though, Jason. That's right.
That's embarrassing, especially because I used to be able to name every player's college.
Hey, listen,
That's shameful.
Oklahoma versus.
I apologize to you, the listeners, for my.
You can still
that wrong.
You can still call the Pentagon, so we're all still impressed. Still better than that.
The Pentagon will still take my calls, even if I get Trent Williams' school wrong.
Okay, that's why I couldn't understand. Like, what is he talking about with Trent Williams? All right.
Sorry about that. I get very rarely I get things wrong, but it has been known to happen.
All right. Later in the week, I want some airplane intel and some more prop bets. Okay.
Absolutely. Can't wait. I will have plenty of prop bets. We will talk about all sorts of stuff. Super Bowl is going to be an amazing game. If you get a chance to go, it's going to be the best day of your life.
I'm sorry about the Tropicana closing. I know that hit you hard as well.
Yeah, RIP. Those women are going to have to find a new place to work. Story for another day.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia, right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly and I coming back with more Super Bowl 58.